You are listening to Infinite Lives.
Hey, what's up? This is Dan P. with Infinite Lives. And I have an interview with Hillary Craven. She is the co-founder of Piramana Studios. They're working on a game called Solar Crusaders. The Kickstarter goes live next week, Tuesday. I believe that is March 17th. And, the game seems like it's a mix between FTL, Civilization, and EVE Online. There's 4X strategy elements in it and everything like that. But in the interview, you get to learn a lot about Hillary, kind of her background and stuff like that, the kind of games she likes to play. Total War, which is pretty cool. We talk a little bit about, doing good in the world and contributing to society, right? That doesn't sound like Infinite Lives at all. Anyway, sit back, relax, and listen in. Hello and welcome. This is Dan Paredes. I have an interview with a game designer, Hillary Craven. She is with Piramana Studios, and they are making Solar Crusaders. And I think they have a Kickstarter in about a week, so we'll get into that. So how are you doing, Hillary?
I'm doing great. Happy to be here.
So Piramana Studios, is this a new studio? This is your first game that you guys are making?
Yes, so we're an indie developer studio. We're just starting off. We're self-funded, and we are making Solar Crusaders.
Awesome. So the Kickstarter, when does that start?
So the Kickstarter is actually starting next Tuesday, and that is to raise additional awareness and to also see if we can get additional funds to bring on more team members to get this game going even faster.
Awesome. So what's the team makeup right now? Like, how many people do you have on your team?
Sure. So right now we actually have 8 people. We're a pretty large team. Half of it is about artists. Mm-hmm. So we have 3 main artists and a few other contributors who've really helped. And then we have Ollie, who is our lead developer and main programmer. And then we have Federico, who is an additional programmer. And then we have myself and Erica, who are kind of handling a lot of the business and public relations and also kind of game design, the stories, that aspect.
Awesome. So it says on the website that you're a founder with Ollie. So you guys both started this Piramana Studios together?
Yes, yeah. So we're co-founders. We came up with the idea while playing a board game together. It was a large group of people, but the next day we met up again and we're like, we should actually do this. Let's actually talk about this.
Wait, so what board game were you playing?
It's called Battle Stations. And have you played FTL?
Yes, I have played FTL. Yeah.
So it's similar to FTL. In terms of kind of a board game, like look layout with squares where you're playing other people and you have kind of different systems. And, that's kind of what started the conversation. And then, Ollie introduced me to FTL and then we started talking about, what if we could do a multiplayer? What would we change? What would we do?
So was making games something that you kind of, have thought about before this time or something that you've actually tried your hand at before?
So I've actually always wanted to make one, and I think I've always been more interested in like the story aspect and writing short stories and things like that, and kind of make a game that would have quests and storylines to it. And then Ollie has always wanted to do a computer game, and he's actually, I believe, tried to make some small ones on his own before, mm-hmm. but never like actually taken anything public before.
So you mentioned getting introduced to FTL. Looking at some of the pictures now, I mean, I know this is an unfair characterization, but I'm just gonna ask the question. So what's different about this game than FTL? Some of the pictures kind of look like it.
Yeah, so we were very heavily inspired by FTL's amazing idea of bringing a board game-esque view to computer games in terms of seeing a top-down, you know, not a side screen, just straight up top-down like you would a board game, and then having different systems that you target. So that aspect, we love that aspect, so we're going to keep that aspect. Everything else is basically changing in terms of we're making it online, it's multiplayer, so you can get your friends together. It's kind of, if I was to describe the game using other games, mm-hmm. I would say that the gameplay and the economy is like Eve, and then the battles will have a board game FTL feel to them. And then the station management, so you're going to have these stations that you're building and you're using to exploit and mine different planets, that will be very much like how you manage a city in Civilizations.
Yeah, I see that you're saying that it's featuring 4X gameplay and mm-hmm. things like that. So is it you're interacting with other civilizations and those kind of things around space?
Yeah, so the way that we envision it is basically kind of like Eve. You start off, you're a corporation. You have a small set of money, and you go out and you buy a ship, and you buy crew members to man your ship. So you're not an actual crew member or anything. You're this kind of entity mm-hmm. that purchases the ship. And then you can focus on exploiting planet's resources. Like, you can focus on just, like, looking and searching and kind of, like, mapping the galaxy. Or you can use that to then exploit resources from a certain planet and then sell and trade those resources. Or you can just totally ignore that part and just fight people with your ship. All that.
So what are there, like, are there different victory conditions, you know, other than just, you know, kind of destroying everything?
So there, it's just going to be like it's a sandbox. So there's no specific ending, which is one thing that I liked a lot because at the end of FTL, I was like, okay, I want more. And then and this was like, okay, well, we want to make a world where you can do whatever you want and it's continual. So ideally, as the game gets released, we will be continually building more and more missions and quests you can go on and kind of expanding the universe as it grows.
So is this like a procedural kind of generated universe, or is this something that you guys are kind of hand-making, you know, each planet, each civilization and those kind of things?
Currently hand-making. Yeah, it's been really fun and unique to be looking at different things and what kind of planet do we want this one to be, kind of an icy planet, and just, you know, what the resources be, thinking of all of that.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. You were mentioning the quest system, like, because you know how you're describing it, I'm really thinking of Civilization, which is, you know, I've played that game for forever and things like that. I love that series. You know, Civilization mixed in with some FTL and some EVE Online elements. But what's the questing system like? Like, is there going to be like a linear storyline?
So there's going to be what we envision is multiple linear storylines that are, mm-hmm. you know, you can start and basically you can decide how you want to go. So in terms of, we'll have it set up basically like you'll get a mission from somebody who, and this will be the computer giving you a mission, and you can decide what to do with it. If you want to deliver somebody's goods for whatever is in the mission, or you can decide to steal the goods. But then if you deliver the goods, like each one will take you on a path. Mm-hmm. And then you'll get more and more kind of quests. So basically we'll have a series of missions which will equal a quest. And that will be, the quest will be like a different storyline.
Huh. That's pretty cool. It seems very ambitious, and just being, you know, your studio's first game and everything. And, you know, obviously I don't know the relative experience levels of everybody. I mean, is it something that, is there a fear that, like, maybe you guys are making too ambitious of a game? Or, I mean, you know, what do you think about that?
So we're not really worried about that. We want to make it as awesome as possible. Mm-hmm. And that's basically our goal. We're not worried really about the feasibility of making it. We know we can make it. Well, we are concerned with making sure we don't like overpromise our deadline. So right now we're just going to say currently that we're aiming for early 2016.
Okay.
Rather than specifically saying like, okay, our alpha is releasing here, our beta is here, and this is like our actual release. We're just going to wait until we have a little bit more information. In terms of, you know, if we have crazy funding from the Kickstarter, that makes a huge difference in our timeline.
Awesome.
Awesome.
But we're not really worried about our ambitiousness, but we do want to, we have certain features that we want to add later. So there's a couple things that we've brought to the table that we're like, this is an awesome idea, but we're going to table this until like mid-2016. So we'll be continually adding new features as we go.
So is this the only game kind of on your guys' horizon? There's not like another game that you guys are kind of, you know, thinking about doing after this? Or this is like Solar Crusaders is your main thing?
I mean, Solar Crusaders is our main thing, but we have so many ideas we definitely have different ideas in terms of so I was actually watching the Pirates of the Caribbean movie mm-hmm. series. I had a long plane ride and I watched like all three in a row.
Wait, and is I that got your first time watching it?
No.
Oh, okay. You're like, you know, there's this Pirates of the Caribbean movie series that you might have heard about.
I assumed you had heard about it before, but but basically I got off that plane ride and I was like, oh my gosh, we need to make Solar Crusaders in like Pirates. But later, I mean, we're talking, that would be like 2017 kind of a thing.
Well, have you ever played Sid Meier's Pirates?
No, I haven't.
So he made a Pirates game. I think it was a older like 80s game that I played on like an Apple II. But they made a remake, I think, like in the 2000s or something. So they made a Pirates game. I think that's a great concept.
Yeah, I mean, I who doesn't love pirates?
Yeah.
And basically we can take the same concept of the ship, you know, in terms of like, I really enjoyed the aspect of FTL in terms of building a strategy of where you want to attack. It's not like Eve where you're just sitting in a ship and like you're just kind of hoping it all goes well. I mean, that's what I usually do. Mm-hmm. So I think it's more involvement and more like strategy. And I mean, I guess a little slower in that sense, which I like personally. So hopefully other people like it too.
Yeah, so is this going to be like a, is this going to be turn-based?
So we're still figuring all that out. We are currently thinking yes for the battles.
Oh, okay.
But we're trying to, I really think what's going to happen is we're going to put it all together, we're going to release alpha, let people play and test in it, and then tell us what they think. And we'll play too before we hopefully release it to them, but get a sense of, oh no, we really don't like this, or oh, this works well.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
We want to deliver a product that people are going to really enjoy.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I know that, like, you know, games go through a lot of different iterations before they actually get released. Is there like a party system where you kind of have like, crewmates or people that man your station that are like named that you kind of, cause like in Civilization, you know, and well, I guess FTL, they're kind of individuals and everything like that. But I don't think they have individual stats or anything like that. Go ahead.
Okay, so basically our current plan is kind of a mix between the FTL and Eve sense in terms of you get a hire a crew member, you basically usually take like an insurance policy out on them because people die out in battle and whatnot. And then they have a name, they have stats, potentially a little story background, but like, you know, a sentence or two about, you know, who the person is or whatnot. And then as they develop, as you go in more battles, they'll get really good at certain things. Mm-hmm. And we currently have, we have like five different races. They each have their like backstory and their different kind of like abilities and things that like help them. And so you can get, like you'll hire one of those playable races. And then basically you can tailor, like if you have a ship full of, like we have like monks as one of our races. And if you have a ship full of them, Then they have like a healing ability, so they can be like really hard to destroy. Like if you were to like board their ship, it'd be really hard to take them out because they can just all heal each other. They're not very good at attack, but they're like super on defense. So they each have their abilities, and then you have one guy who they each have their own names, and he will grow with experience, and he will be more valuable. And that will also help with, like, when you go on missions and quests, you'll get a lot of experience through those.
Wait, so are you saying monks are a separate race?
Yeah, so that's what we're trying to go with. Like, these, like, energy beings that are, like, in these monk robes, and I think this is super cool, but... and basically, they have, like, a whole story, like, they have their own backstory, but they're just, like, a monk race. We have a... better names for everyone, but I have my own personal names for them. So they're the monk race.
Well, yeah, awesome. I know it's a team effort and everything, but like what parts have you kind of either contributed where it's like this is like my idea that's in the game or like my part of the world that I built? Kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Like what's your part in this in Solar Crusaders?
So I would say everything you see either Ollie and I have like touched, like it's either one of our projects, and then everybody else on the team is like, you know, putting in their feedback and helping us make it happen. But I would say that a majority of what happens is either Ollie or I. And a lot of the design and storylines are usually mainly me, and then, you know, Ollie might veto some of them. and same thing goes for also the computer, like the development aspects, or I'll have an idea, and then Ollie will be like, that's not feasible in, like, the next couple years, so no. And so we'll have those, but basically it's the co-founders deciding and kind of laying out the how we see the game, and then everyone else pitching in the ideas and then helping make it physically happen.
So talking about like world building and those kind of things, like is world building something that you've done before? Like I've always kind of sketched a little, some kind of Lord of the Rings type of, like, map or something. I played Dungeons & Dragons, so I've always kind of thought about, like, oh, this is, like, my kingdom of whatever or something like that. So, I mean, is this something that's kind of come easy to you or that you've done before? You've always had, like, you know, different ideas of, like, what space civilizations you would create?
Yeah, I actually have. I feel like I've grown up doing that, and now I'm afraid that maybe not everyone has. But of course, like you're always, you know, drawing your own like maps and the worlds and creating stories, and yeah, I mean, I think that's basically like I feel like hopefully all creative kids grow up,
yeah,
having that envision. And I think space wise, you know, I would say mine have more been like Earth ideas, and Ollie's dreams, I guess, would be more space related, and so we're just combining the two.
Yeah, definitely. So this is a question I ask everybody in some kind of form, but I play games all my life and everything like that, you know, all the geek culture and everything. So I find it that it's kind of like sports in a way, like, you know, I grew up with sports and everything and sports fandom and stuff, but it's kind of like sports in a way where you people that you don't even know, you kind of have at least a frame of reference or at least some kind of commonality. So I feel that like with games and everything, you know, different backgrounds, different races, different cultures and everything like that. You know, like I grew up in Hawaii. And I moved to Seattle for college, and I'm actually originally from the Philippines, like, you know, when I was really small and everything. But, you know, the people that I meet, you know, we can kind of relate with video games, and that's kind of like the foundation of a lot of my friendships and everything like that. So how did you grow up with games or, you know, video games or otherwise? digital or analog, and things like that. Like, I grew up with playing Bruce Lee on my brother's Apple II and playing, like, old Sierra games and those kind of things. So, yeah, what's your origin story?
So I would say my origin story is kind of funny in the sense that my brother and I lived kind of up in the hills, just kind of in a very, like, woodsy area, and we lived pretty far away from everyone else. Mm-hmm. And so we were just the two of us hanging out all the time. And he was a huge gamer. That's all he did. And I spent my childhood mainly playing games, but also sadly just sitting there watching games. I would just watch him play for hours and hours. And my parents would be like, why don't you want to go do something, Hillary? And I'd be like, yeah, no, I'm fine. I'm just going to sit here and watch.
I know the feeling being the younger sibling.
Yeah, exactly. So I really, in my childhood got to play as much, but I, watched, and I grew up, I think from like I would say at least like starting at like 8 or something, I have memories of my brother and I hanging out, and then also just me sitting there watching him play games.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've played games my whole life. I would say, my friends still make fun of me for, I love Civilizations, and I won't probably ever stop playing it. And people are just like, aren't you bored of that already? But I love it. And I got the newer space one when it came out. And I haven't been as into it as I am the other ones.
Yeah,
but,
you know, I had that same reaction. I didn't like it that much.
I didn't like it that much. It's still good. I feel like it's too slow. I don't know. I haven't figured out what I don't even know if I gave it a fair chance. I just went back to my old Civ.
I feel like it's not different enough. Like, it's like, you know, I mean, I might as well just play Civilization 5 with all the expansions.
Yeah.
what is the first Civ game that you played?
I'm trying to remember. I think I can like draw you the cover of what it looked like, but I don't know what number it was. But it was definitely an older one on the computer. Color was kind of yellow. But
I actually don't even know the cover, so
that's not very descriptive. But
we'll just say you started at 1.
Yeah, we'll just stay there.
The original. I mean, like, you know, the Civilization has kind of changed over the years. I think, like, especially from 3 on, like each one has kind of been really different. Like, were you ever skeptical of like the changes being made, or, you know, do you have a favorite that you still like, even if you like the most up to date one?
I don't really know. I mean, I feel like, so I'm somebody who's really easy to please and I enjoy everything. So I'd be like the worst movie critic because everyone asks me how it is. I'm like, oh, it's great. And then they're like, that was horrible. I enjoy things. And so I think every time something's come out, I've been like, oh, cool, I like it. And I just accept it and move on.
So what civilization do you like to play as?
Oh my gosh. Okay. So I think they're the Middle Eastern. Mm-hmm. And you get like a caravan bonus for them.
Yeah, I think the Arabian Empire, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I dominate the world in that.
Oh, yeah, the new caravan stuff, like, you know, because the 2 expansions really made Civ 5 really good, I think. Even better than, I think 4, which I thought was, like, couldn't be topped and everything like that. But, yeah, I really like how the caravans work and the whole getting pieces of art, works of art, and stuff like that. That's pretty awesome.
I like that. Did you ever try playing it on PlayStation?
No, I guess I've only ever played Civ on computers. I had one on my iPhone. They made an iPhone.
Horrible.
Yeah, it was like, never mind.
I like couldn't even know. I was just like, I can't. This is just so bad. I can't do anything on this.
What is Civilization like on the PlayStation?
It's actually surprising. Well, okay, keep in mind, easy to please. So
yeah.
I actually enjoyed it. I think it got pretty. My impression was that it got pretty bad reviews.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely different. I almost want to say it's faster, which was nice and kind of I don't know. It was very different, but I liked it.
Yeah, I kind of really wanted to play the console versions of Civilization Revolutions because I heard good stuff about it, but I was not too sure. Sometimes I'm kind of like, I'll just stay with my Civ. Like, I don't, yeah. I don't need new Civ. What other games? What other game franchises have you played or enjoyed throughout the years?
I really like, and this we have no aspects in the game, but I really like Total War.
Oh my gosh! Okay. Yeah, we're friends now because okay. I have like three other people on my podcast, and whenever I talk about Total War, they roll their eyes. So
why don't they like it?
I don't know. I'm like the history, I like playing history games and stuff like that.
I love it. And every time I feel like you load a new page, I haven't played it in a little while, but it have like a quote for like the time period or whatnot, and I felt like I was learning stuff.
Oh yeah, and I like having like my family and like not liking one of the kids and stuff, yes! And then putting them on a boat and just like, I don't know where you're going somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. And I like the whole also I was gonna say like the whole like religion aspect. For some reason, yeah. I've always really enjoyed that. Like, I'm just gonna take over the world.
Yeah. Have you ever tried out Crusader Kings?
Okay, I'm gonna Google it really fast. Crusader Kings.
Yeah, Crusader Kings 2, it's kind of like Total War, except you're not really playing the battles. It's all about basically family dynasty management.
Oh, I would love it.
Yeah, I started playing that, and I'm just like completely hooked on it. And it's so crazy. It seems very intimidating. Like, it really is intimidating at first. But when you get into, like, you know, families and rivalries and stuff like that, and just kind of, like, it's so crazy.
Where, do you still build armies, but you just don't, like, fight the battles? Or
yeah, you still build armies. It goes off of, it really does the medieval simulation part, where you have vassals, and you have to raise armies through your vassals, like, you know, through their lands and everything. So it depends on the laws of your kingdom and how much they actually like you. That's how many people they'll contribute. So you really have to
buy more. Yeah, you just have to make people like you and give you more.
I mean, there's an aspect where you can buy a retinue of soldiers, so you kind of have like a corps like that are trained. But you know, to fill out like the big numbers, you need your vassals to actually like you and to actually answer the call when you do that. So I mean, you know, you're deep in the middle of development. Maybe it's not the best game, but yeah, I love the Total War series. I really like the medieval ones the most.
Yeah, I would say the medieval was my favorite.
Yeah, I really hope they make another one. Cause, I mean, I bought the newest Rome Total War, and I like Roman stuff, but kind of I like that medieval stuff where it's just with the religion and everything. Yeah, you're definitely right.
I actually enjoyed that, but I think I'd be interested in the Crusader Kings, right?
Yeah, Crusader Kings. It's all about family management. So it's really about like who's going to inherit. The other people don't like that kid that's going to inherit, and then stuff like that. Like, I had, like, the first guy that I played, my second son actually killed me. and then you play whoever inherits your. So you can actually, there is a game over to the game where, if your family, if nobody carries on the family name, like, you just die. Like, you just, your family goes away.
End of thing. Okay.
Yeah.
Because for the Total War, I never liked attacking battles, but I love defending, like, my castles. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't really play the battles as much. So this sounds like a perfect game for me.
Awesome. I have converted another. My friends over here are immune to my charms, I guess, on that regard. Oh, that's totally awesome. You make, like, Solar Crusaders, except it'd be like Holy Crusaders. That would be the it would be like a Crusaders line of like video games. Solar, space, fantasy.
Yeah. Already getting ideas.
What else games do you play? I think I saw on your team page that you're a StarCraft fan.
Yeah. I recently got into StarCraft, and I'm still playing it right now. I guess I played it as a kid. Mm-hmm. I actually have a memory of I went away for the summer with my grandparents, and when I came back, the first thing my brother said to me was, "You lost StarCraft." And I was like, "What?" Not even like, hello, you know, how are you? He was upset that I guess I had borrowed it, and then he like couldn't find it. Oh. And then I lost it. That's, he's been over the last 3 months, which is so upset at me. And I had no idea. But yes, I played it as a kid when it like first came out. I believe that was, yeah, the first. And enjoyed it a lot. And then recently, like a year and a half ago, I bought like what the newest version and started playing a little bit. So I don't know. I'm still like just figuring out how to be good at it.
Yeah, I was never good. I liked RTS games, but I was never very good at them.
Yeah, so exactly.
Whenever I'd play other people, I always felt very, very incompetent.
Yeah, I'm like having trouble playing against the computer. Like, I feel like I'm good, but then I'm not.
Well, the worst is when you have like the difficulty set super low, and you're just like, man, I'm so good.
Yeah.
And then you're just like, okay, well, here we go. Let's take the jump and try to raise this. And you're just like, nope. This is not good.
I'm just gonna stay right here.
Yeah. Look, nobody has to play with me. Nobody has to know.
Yeah, I can just play with it. Me and the computer.
Yeah, I'm happy. The computer knows. That's awesome. Yeah, and it says that you studied biochemistry and molecular cell biology at UC Davis.
Mm-hmm.
And then you became a med student.
Yes. So I basically went to school. So I'm from the Bay Area. Mm-hmm. I'm from Palo Alto. And then I went to UC Davis for my undergrad in biochem and molecular cell bio. And then I went straight into medical school. And did about a year and a half and realized that I couldn't, because so basically the whole program is 7 years. You do like 4 years of medical school and then a 3-year residency.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I just want to have fun with my life. I don't want to. It's a great profession, and it's so like, I love the actual school. It was so interesting, but doing it like hardcore for 7 years, I was just like, I'm young. I want to like smile and have fun. So I quit, and then I got a job doing clinical research, which I loved. And then Ollie had this great idea, and we were working together on this game. And so my family is like, "All right, well, sounds good." Like, I mean, they trust me. But yeah, I think it was a big leap to just straight up be like, "I'm in medical school," because I think for so many people, it's hard to get into school for medical school, and then. A lot of times you don't evaluate, like, oh, do I actually want to do this?
Yeah, you know, I always find it really crazy that we expect people, young people, to figure out what they want to do with the rest of their life when they're 20 or 22 or something like that. Like, it always seems kind of crazy.
Yeah, I started med school at 22, and I was just like, I was so jazzed about it. I'm like, this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. But, it's so exhausting, and it's tiring, and it's really intense, and it's a great profession, and we need more doctors. But I was just like, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know. I want to like enjoy my time, and I was just trying to think about like, what is it worth? You know, to me, like, I'd rather, you know, have a family, do other things like that, and enjoy life.
Yeah. And it's, of course, it definitely takes a certain kind of personality to kind of make that your complete focus, I would think.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're talking like your family was there some kind of apprehension in the beginning, like of you like quitting and you know, and then eventually like starting a game studio?
Yeah, but luckily I feel like they're just like, oh, okay, like, it's Hillary being crazy, and, like, she'll come up with she'll come up with a good idea in the end, so it doesn't really matter. Awesome. So, yeah.
So, I mean, has like, you know, video games and kind of being creative always kind of been, like, you know, something that's encouraged or something like that? You never had to be grounded from video games at some point?
Also, on my dad's side of the family, everyone's like has I'm pretty sure that every single child has some sort of like artistic creative ability. So like I think so my dad's a photographer and my uncle is like a sculptor and they're all like they have other day jobs and things like that, but they all have very, very passionate about their hobbies. And so I think that was always very encouraged.
Wow. Well, yeah, that's always really good to hear and stuff like that. Going back to Solar Crusaders, so is this something that you're kind of anticipating being released on multiple platforms?
So it's going to be on its web browser, so you can use Mac and PC, and we're not potentially can go to iPad, but other than that, we're not doing any consoles. We're never going to mobile because that always looks horrible.
That's where the money is, though. I've heard.
Yeah. It looks like I don't know. I've heard mixed reviews on mobile money aspects, but in general, yeah, we want it to be computer games.
Awesome. So you know. With the modern gamescape, it's always kind of like it feels like more now than ever the barrier of entry is lower for developers to get in. You know, there's a lot of open source engines and just ways to do things and things like that, and it's easier to get your name out there. But conversely, you know, you have more people kind of in the mix, so to speak. So, like, how are you tackling that? Like, how are you kind of, you know, there's a lot of people making games right now.
Yeah.
You know, there's probably a lot of people that are also inspired and influenced by FTL, and kind of have, you know, a space game in mind and things like that. So how are you guys thinking of, like, differentiating yourself and kind of standing out from the crowd?
Sure. First, I just want to address the whole the fact that the system is kind of impacted with lots of different developers, and therefore I feel like it's harder for people to actually come out and make their own game because it takes more. I feel like Kickstarter is just an absolutely amazing idea, but as more and more people get on Kickstarter or get on Steam Greenlight, it gets more impacted and it's harder for people to get exposure.
Yeah.
And so one thing that we want to do eventually, once we have, you know, Solar Crusaders and possibly Solar Crusaders Pirates or or whatever we do, we want to basically have – we want to ideally start, like, some sort of incubator where we can help other people make their games. Because people have these dreams and they're passionate about it and they can – they just need a little bit of funds to actually go to work on it and see if it would be a reality. But most people can't take that step because they know that even if they were to quit their job and work on it, it's so much sacrifice to them. And then there's a, you know, a good chance that no one will even see it. So we are hoping to, you know, become successful game makers and mainly by providing really good quality games and then ideally be able to use that influence to bring other games to the light. And one, you know, one way we were thinking, you know, like, you know, have them, like, we have an amazing composer, and I was just talking to her today about this and saying, like, you know, it would be great if, like, we were able to start this incubator and then, you know, she could work on their games too. And basically, like, you know, and we can help fund them and certain things like that, maybe help get them more attention for their games. So that's kind of my address to the fact that it is really impacted right now. And I think that's something that mobile's seeing really heavily right now. And that people are kind of misjudging how much they can make off of it because they're not analyzing the fact that there's millions and millions of games being released like every day. So it's kind of like the day they release, they have to basically make all their sales kind of a thing.
I forgot what the number was, but it's like the number like per day that are released like on the Apple iTunes store is just insane.
It's insane, yeah. And it's sad because it's like so there might be some really good games, but they just don't get exposure. And and then once it's like 5 days old, no one will see it.
Yeah.
And so it's an interesting market. So one way we're trying to tackle that is by being kind of aggressive on social media to try to to get to know the gaming communities and get to know the EVE fans and the FTL fans and see what they want and kind of hopefully get a group of diehard fans who will like our game and help kind of work with us to create a great game. And then if it's truly a good game, then we shouldn't have any problems. Like if it's good and it gets good reviews, then exposure issues from there shouldn't be an issue if we make the amazing game we're planning to make.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, everything always starts with a good game.
Yeah, so that's why I think we're really tackling the, you know, we're trying to be get to know a community of gamers and try to get kind of a community behind us because you need that input to be able to, you know, tailor your game towards the community and then make an amazing game. Because we figure, yeah, the game is the most important aspect.
How do you think you would balance kind of listening to the community while also kind of staying true to a particular vision that you have with Solar Crusaders? Or is that even a thing that you even see that's a problem?
I don't really see it as a problem. I see so earlier what we did when we were working on we have an amazing artist, Ricardo, and he's making concept art for us, and he gives us a big sheet of like many different versions. Like we describe to him what we want, and then he gets us lots of different versions. And then we've been literally just putting it on Twitter and being like, what do you guys think? And people will be like, you know, like number one, number two, number three, or, you know, people like kind of rank them for us. And we just go with that. I mean, and we make sure that, like, you know, if it's something that we like hate, then we like talk about it more. But ideally we basically narrow it down to like five looks that work well with our vision and then, you know, post it to the fans and see what they think.
So is kind of like, you know, once the Kickstarter campaign is over and and hopefully you guys are funded and everything. you know, is it going to be kind of like you know, a back and forth between the community and the dev team kind of either releasing like a build out to you know, a closed group of people or an open group of people, depending on where you're at in the process, but kind of like, you know, taking their feedback and kind of reintegrating that and all that kind of stuff, like, you know, kind of a back and forth.
Yeah, very much so. That's what we want is, and if this might slow us down a little bit, and that's why we're tentative. You can't really pick a release date when you don't know what the community will say. Oh, I really don't like this aspect, and they're like, okay, that's going to take us like a month to change, you know. Mm-hmm. So, but that's what we want. We want this. We want people who are interested in the game to take a look at it and let us know what we think, and then we can continually build it. And of course, we're going to go with more of like a majority. If one guy says he hates this one thing and everyone else likes it, then we're just going to go with what everyone says. But we want a really community. We want to build this game with the community, basically.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, that's always kind of like the dream of working with your community and kind of building that like friendship and trust while also kind of building the game that you want. Is there ever a point where you're, well, actually, sorry, let me rephrase it this way. Whenever I kind of create something and, you know, put something out there, like, you know, this podcast or like another interview that I have with somebody or, you know, like a video thing that we're doing or something like that, I always get like super like worried that I'm going to react really badly to like a negative comment or just completely get down on myself, kind of things like that. And it's always like a worry, and it always like I try to be as open as I am to criticism and everything like that, and trying to like understand where people are coming from and that they're just trying to help me. But like it's always kind of a struggle with me. Is that a struggle with you? Like, I mean, how do you what's your philosophy in dealing with criticism and kind of negative feedback?
So so just in life, my general philosophy is based off of this great Dr. Seuss quote, and hopefully I don't butcher it, but I think it goes, those who mind don't matter, and those who matter don't mind. And it's kind of a good way that I've always interpreted my life in terms of negative feedback, but those who are who are, there's always going to be those people who are negative just to be negative, and you just kind of have to ignore them because they don't really matter.
Yeah, of course.
And when you have that in mind, it's easier to receive negative feedback and be like, okay, this is constructive, or that is just annoying, so I'm just going to ignore it. When we first got started, though, we had to develop a rule where Ollie would not look at the Twitter comments for a little bit, because I think for different people, it's kind of a big deal, and if it's something that you've created, it's your heart and soul, and for people to, you know, casually throw out negative comments, that can be hard for people. So in the beginning, I'm solely in charge of reading the Twitter comments and making sure and filtering them through. And every time that I would like have a worried look on my face, he'd be like, "What did someone say on Twitter?" And I'd be like, "No, it's not that. Don't worry." So it's an interesting aspect, and I think we will get a lot more negative feedback by being so open and being so inviting for it. Where if we're saying we want your feedback, we're going to get a lot more negative feedback. But that's just, it's going to help us make us better. So we're just going to deal with it.
Yeah, I mean, I always find that the people who are being negative for the sake of being negative, or just, you know, being trolls, or just, you know, basically a-holes on the internet. I mean, those guys are, those people are easy to spot. I mean, it's still extremely annoying and it's very hard to deal with sometimes. But the stuff that always concerns me is the people who are actually very, like, there's truth to their criticism. Yeah. And I'm just like, oh, God, like, I really have to, like, change something or do something differently or something like that. That's always a challenge for me.
Yeah, I mean, that's always a challenge. But realistically, like, kind of just analyzing, like, okay, well, can I actually physically change it? Like, if it's something that I can't physically change or it's going to be too big to change, then, like, then I'm just going to proceed as I'm going, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's a mix between the two.
So is your group planning on, or did you guys attend any conventions recently or in the future?
Yeah, so we were planning to attend GDC, and I'm happy I didn't get the tickets because we were kind of debating it and we all wanted to go, but it was kind of like, you know, getting people's schedules together and organizing it. And then we realized that we just really don't have enough time with the Kickstarter coming up so soon that we were like, we're just going to pass on this one. But we're looking to basically attend events from here on out. And there's actually a Bay Area one that's just started that's going to be called Helicon that they're going to be opening up. And it's supposed to be like a pop culture, like a mix of like film and gaming and just everything. And that's a new thing that's happening in the Bay Area. And I think it's like June 13th maybe. That should be really exciting. So that's, we've already got like our booths there and everything. And then basically looking for other games, other places that we can go and hang out.
Nice. Well, there's always PAX Prime up in Seattle.
Yeah, that's what we were saying.
Yeah, I mean this game sounds great. I like 4X strategy games, and I like space games, things like that. You know, just a couple final questions. Is there anything that's kind of like that's been, you know, that you've been a fan of that's also influenced you know, your work on Solar Crusaders? I mean, I'm guessing, are you Star Trek or Star Wars?
Both. We're both huge.
Okay.
I think we're all part of it. I actually just finished because I grew up watching the Star Trek, the older ones, and I just went through, and I'm almost done going through all of the Next Generation ones. Wow. And I started at, like, because I was watching it with friends. So I started at, like, season 4 because that's what everyone wanted to start at. So we went all the way through, and now I'm going through back and doing, like, the really early ones. Mm-hmm. So that's what I was literally doing when you called me.
What do you think about the new movies?
I like them. Keep in mind, I'm easily amused. But yeah, I like them. I liked the first one better. Mm-hmm. I think the main character is really good. I think anything in space is just awesome. And just the idea of it is just super cool.
So What do you think it is about sci-fi and space that kind of, you know, that inspires this fandom, either in you or, like, you know, just the public in general?
So I think what's really nice about space is that it's like up to your own imagination, right? We don't really know what's out there. I mean, we do it to some extent, but realistically, when you're talking about space and sci-fi space, it's really just whatever you want. And I think that's so alluring that anything can happen. You can't be critical of, like, oh, well, that's not, you know, wouldn't happen. And it's like, well, how do you know? Like, it's a lot easier to be creative and more accepting of space kind of stories and space like films, because you can just accept things so easier. When, you know, you watch like a medieval film, you're like, oh, they wouldn't even say that, or they wouldn't treat their woman that way, or something like that. Like, you already have a historical notion of how things happen. But space, there's nothing. It's limitless. And you can just imagine whatever you want. And no one can tell you different.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Where do you see Piramana Studios in 10 years? I know that's a big question, and you guys are just getting started and everything like that. But, like, you know, I'm pretty sure you've thought of the future and forward thinking and everything. Like, where do you see your group in 10 years?
So we have really big ambitions and big dreams. In 10 years, we see Piramana Studios changing the world. We want to be a successful game studio. We want to produce amazing games that people will love to play and continue to play. It's not like you play it for a month and you're kind of amused. Like, we want to get people who really, like, love these games. And I think being close as a community should help that. And then we also want to do a whole aspect where we're, you know, have the incubator and we're help creating other games. And then we also, we're kind of also kind of nonprofit oriented. So we want to potentially games can be very profitable. And if Solar Crusaders is, then we would like to use a lot of those profits to help make the world a better place. And one idea that we've been having is, we've already, like, committed to this, is that we're going to put 15% of Solar Crusaders' profit, which will probably won't start until 2016, into giving back to the community in a sense of programming. Like, I think programming and, you know, computer science education is something that's really lacking in the world, but especially also in America. Like, there's, you know, America is known as really to produce really good programmers, and right now there's not enough programmers. So we think it would be really good to, you know, help America make more programmers and to, you know, spread that education. We've looked into a couple nonprofits, and there's some that are, like, tailored at kids, and there's some that are, there's, like, Black Girls Who Code. It's, like, a tailored at, like, I think it was, like, 12 to 17-year-old African-American females. And so it's good that there's people out there. Like, so people have had this idea, and which is great, because I've been able to read their research, and I'll be like, oh, well, I'm totally going to use those statistics because those are awesome, like, to help, you know, talk about how awesome and how much of a need America is in need for this. But we're thinking of potentially targeting, like, community college kids, maybe low-income community college, providing some sort of free programming classes. And there's already online classes. But somehow connecting the kids who don't know exactly what they want to do with their lives, and potentially low-income families who haven't really been exposed to computer science because they haven't had the physical materials, and connecting them with, you know, all these great online programs. Like, I think there's it's like Code Academy and things like that that are out there and available. We just need to connect the people.
Jeez, yeah, that's terrific. I mean, yeah, it's funny because the U.S. is such a it's a great place to start a business, but yeah, our educational system sometimes is lacking. Like,
and, I think, very much so. I think we're all looking for. I think there's just so many things that's hard to be focused, and I know that a lot of funding has been recently cut for schools, and so. It just would be a place that I could see, especially with you know, kids who've just come out of high school, kind of looking at what they want to do. That's, I think, the prime area for us to target. Until we actually get our nonprofit going, though, we're probably just going to straight up, like, donate to, like, Girls Who Code and some other other nonprofit organization until we can get our own kind of up and going.
Yeah, of course. I mean, just like with anything, you kind of need experience in that field to kind of know what you're, what kind of programs actually help and how to develop that. That's awesome. You know, I've been doing interviews with indie devs for, you know, over a year and a half now. And I think this is the first time I've ever kind of talked about charity, giving back to the community, establishing, like, you know, nonprofit things. You know, not to say that the people I've talked to in the past probably don't have that also on their mind, but it's never really come up. And I think that's pretty wonderful that you guys are not necessarily focused on making a profit. I mean, you know, you want to make money because that allows you to do other things, but also kind of having that, you know, at so early of a stage, also still having that goal of giving back and kind of using that money for something good.
Huh. Well, and I think that's, you know, hopefully we encourage people to, like, look in, and then hopefully we'll get more people interested in our game because we do have this motive to give back. And I think that is kind of like how, I mean, hopefully this would be great if we could start a trend with this where we're all constantly giving back. Because once you make some profit, you know, basically we're doing 15% to nonprofit and 5% to, Kick It Forward, which is where you fund back other Kickstarter programs. And so 20% of our profit, which is really not that much, but could make a significant difference.
Yeah, I mean, anything would help, I would assume. And, you know, if you're, you know, getting the word out and everything like that, eventually kind of gets people into this mode where, you know, they're thinking about that as they're making, you know, a development studio, as they're creating a business. That's kind of something that's just there, that's part of making a business.
Yeah, I think it would be good, because, I mean, realistically, I really don't know the details, but I think, you know, when you're giving back to communities, you get benefits from it in terms of just small things like tax breaks and, you know, like extra media attention, things like that. There's all these little perks, and I think it would be great if the world would start making, you know, profit, and part of your profit always goes back. Because then you're funding other companies, and then who knows, maybe that company starts a technology that makes you make games better, or things like that. So it'll just be a giant circle if we can just get the ball rolling.
Yeah, I've kind of, I overheard it put one way where kind of like, you know, there's kind of the idea of like, you know, why would you give to charity? Why don't you just kind of help yourself, help your small group of friends or everything? Like, you know, why would you help other people? And kind of the idea behind that is that, you know, there's people out there that may not have the same opportunities or the same access to things. And, you know, that person might be a brilliant person. That person might be, you know, the key to cure for cancer, or developing like some kind of new way of transportation or energy, you know, things like that, or just even the next, you know, cool game. But that person wouldn't be able to realize their potential at all if, you know, they're just kind of in the same rut that they're in. They're not given any kind of opportunity.
Exactly. And ideally with a nonprofit, one kind of idea I had, but I think it's actually going to be harder to manifest until we actually get the ball rolling on it, would be, because I kind of thought about programming is something that you can potentially do from home. And like, well, you know, what do all of like the single mothers of the world who do want to get another career and do want to start up again, but like can't really know, they don't know where to turn or what to do. They've just been a mom or whatnot. I'm talking about potentially like low income families who've had child like really early or whatnot. Mm-hmm. If they can have exposure to, you know, let's say we rent a room in a library that's nearby them, and they come by and they can learn how to program and get the materials they need to program, potentially like a laptop is, you know, almost all they would need, an internet connection. And then they can start to better themselves and potentially better their future children.
Yeah, I mean, you can learn to code. That's the thing. Like, it's not it's not like something that is so far out of the reach of people.
I mean, that's kind of the idea. It's not that far. All you need is a very limited amount of resources, but a lot of people wouldn't invest in that or know to take that step. Mm-hmm. So that would be mainly our job, would be to bring awareness and materials for them to make that connection.
Yeah, that's awesome. Like, I'm really interested in seeing what you guys do with that and everything like that. So, I'd like to thank you for joining me on with this interview and everything like that. I think Solar Crusaders looks cool. It's kind of right up my alley with space. I mean, you know, it'd be cool also if there was like a medieval family kind of aspect to it, but you know, I'll let that slide.
Yeah. We might enter, you know, who knows?
Well, you know, you have your space empire, right?
Yeah, and exactly.
So it has to pass through generations unless the monk beings like live for like 900 years or something. So that might be kind of hard. But yeah, thanks a lot for joining me and talking about your game and everything like that, and you know, talking about doing charity work and stuff like that. It's pretty awesome.
Well, I'm happy to be here. Thanks for letting me just talk. I love to talk. So.
Well, I'll definitely have to have you on again. You know, there's always other parts of gaming culture and also your game probably, you know, updating on the game. So I'll have you on again.
Yes, I would love to be back, and we can do it and then update you on the certain developments. And by then we might know more directions of what we're doing. We're so early and we've got so many ideas. It's hard to know what's going on.
Hey, as long as you're doing what you like and, you know, you're with a group of people that are kind of on the same page, I mean, you know, sky's the limit.
Yeah, I mean, we have a really talented team, which I think makes a really big difference. Like, people are all very passionate about it, and it's not like their job. They're not just, like, clocking in 9 to 5. Like, everyone's really into this, which I think makes a huge difference in the product you produce.
And that was Hillary Craven. The ending kind of just snug up kind of abruptly. We were kind of going over time, I felt. And there's no real natural ending in the original recording. So anyway, thanks for listening. And check out Solar Crusaders. And I'll probably have Hillary or somebody else from her team on again. Thanks. Bye.